your new novel, Extreme.
The book is about a startup, a Silicon Valley startup that's building a game for extreme athletes. And Hope comes in. Hope is from the wrong side of the tracks, but she's a superstar academically. And she's risen up in the ranks of a few startups. This is post the 2000 dot-com crash. And during the kind of fall down in 2000, she was doing some boring enterprise job, but then she gets recruited for this very exciting startup, and it's her dream job. So in goes Hope. The company is called Future Shred. The book is Extreme. And what Hope does, which kind of makes the book totally exciting, is that she recruits her ex-lover. It's a smaller community than you think. And it's kind of exciting that way because people build alliances and they continue to work together in job after job. And Hope brings in her ex, and of course, the sparks fly.
I noticed, I checked, you actually got fear2shred.com. You'll find your book right there. But by shred, you don't mean shredding paper.
Shredding probably, not probably, but in the way that guitarists shred and skaters and surfers, when they do tricks, they call it shredding. So it's shredding in the kind of more edgy sense than paper shredding. But Fear to Shred is the name of the startup in the company, in the book.
Now, this is really an interesting part for me. They always say, write about what you know. And I can't imagine that you would be shredding in extreme sports. So what defines what you know as a writer?
Well, actually, you know, write what you know is a good advice for a beginning writer. But once you're writing for a while, you kind of have to tell the stories that you feel passionate about. I think for me, that's more important, is the passion. And I got very passionate about telling this story about Silicon Valley for one really important reason. I was working in the corporate world, and I started to meet people in tech. And my mind was blown when I got to know people intimately that they were not gearheads, they were not flat, they were polymaths, they were Renaissance people. They were not only designing the Mac and the iPhone, but they were musicians and artists and wine connoisseurs and classical music connoisseurs. And I got really excited. And I said, there's not that much coming out about Silicon Valley. There's not that much creative writing. You know, there's books like Dave Eggers' The Circle, which of course everyone's heard of. There's a few books that have come out, but the genre is just opening up.
And you certainly have this down as well. It's completely consuming in terms of mind share, your time, et cetera, if you're involved in any of these things. But for all the people that are creative, they're interested in many, many things, which ends up influencing their ability to create.
You have to also think about the level of intellect that is doing these breakthrough designs and coming up with these companies. I mean, I've met the people who designed the Mac. That energy and the passion. And I always think that it's very much like writing, because when I watched my husband work in all these startups, the process that he was going through was very much similar to what I was going through writing books.
I usually read these books and I'm like, oh, they're going to get to the tech and they're going to get it wrong, or they're going to not get to the core of the challenge. And yet you got all the tech right. How did you do that? I don't think it didn't take you for a techie.
Well, I do live with an engineer. So while I have not been in the trenches in Silicon Valley, I've had a ringside seat. And Adam has, he worked for Steve Jobs. He worked for General Magic. He's worked for numerous startups and big companies. He's now working for YouTube. And he, one of the issues in the book is that they have to grow Fear to Shred. They have to grow the app, the system, to scale, because if they're going to become a TV show, they have, you know, it has to grow.
You got
to
jump mediums here. You got to, everything has to go in every way.
Exactly. And so the kids that wrote the original code, they're scrappy and their code is no good. And so that's why they call in Doug, the professional, the, as they call it, the adult BX. Supervision. And Doug helps to scale the app, and so that they can bring on, you know, millions of users. And it's really not as easy as it sounds. It's really quite a challenge to scale these companies. And it's actually where startups often get in trouble.
And I think that goes back to writing. There has to be some relevant experience or metaphor that you can bring in so you can convey that.
I even say in my book, You Can Be a Winning Writer, I say, there's a chapter, you are a startup. Because what writers have to realize is that if they want to reach, if they want to scale their writing world, they have to take some very harsh measures, just like when a company is scaling. I think the biggest thing, Moira, is that you have to put yourself out there, often out of your comfort zone. And that's what I was saying before. The book is a metaphor. The game, the extreme gaming, is a metaphor for the startup, that we're pushing ourselves out of our comfort zone, whether we're in a startup or we're doing an artistic project. And that takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of self-scrutiny, you know, to see why am I afraid of this moment? Well, honestly, sometimes it is jumping off the cliff in your base suit. Sometimes it really is.
We mean metaphorically, no lawsuits here.
Totally. I mean, it's just sometimes you have to stop even thinking and just plunge, whether it's going out in public with your project, with your startup, with your book, whatever it is, just close your eyes and jump.
There's a number of aspects of Silicon Valley you've got, and I'm going to talk about a couple of them. One I'm very familiar with, and that's women in tech.
Hope has to work doubly hard. She doesn't have an Ivy League education. She went to Cal. She doesn't have advanced degrees. And so she's got to fight really, really hard. So there's that aspect of women in tech. But I mean, any woman will tell you that she has to work twice as hard to get her results. The other thing is that at one point in the middle of the book, she is approached by the CEO to help him do something that she's very uncomfortable with. And it really brings up a lot of issues for her around loyalty, being on the inside circle. This opportunity that he's giving her will help her to break through the glass ceiling, but it's also a little bit of a deal with the devil. And so,
oh, darn those ethics.
There's a lot about business ethics.
Terrible
in
life, great in books. I don't know.
But I don't want to do the spoilers. But
no spoilers. No
the women
spoilers.
In tech is definitely there. And we give some shout outs to, you know, some of the more well-known women in tech in the book. Yeah.
I have to also say that if I look at the people with the sort of the guts to make it through, and some of those turned out to be failures, but they rode those things to the end to see, you know, they might be able to get it done. Sometimes they failed for reasons that had nothing to do with a great idea. Another technology could come along and scoop them, and just their old technology just doesn't matter anymore. So there's a lot of sad stories there, but it takes a certain ego, and we often refer to this, rightly and wrongly, I think, as the narcissistic side of Silicon Valley. Let's go there.
You know, it's a little bit the ego. I think my CEO in the book definitely plays the narcissistic CEO that's just plowing forward, even when he doesn't know whether the company is going to make it and whether they're going to scale or not. But he also feels like he's doing his job, which is that these CEOs are hired to create value. And one of the themes in the book is, you know, authenticity versus monetary and commodity value. The founders are young, they're in their 20s, they're like, they want to keep everything really cool. And the CEO is like, we got to go commercial. I want to do this thing. I'm hired to create value. So in a way, it looks narcissistic from the outside, but in a way, they're also doing their jobs.
I kept thinking as I was reading your novel and knowing already that you were a writing coach, but also that you were a book critic. So you're writing a novel and you know people are going to review it. I mean, does this affect your writing as you're writing it?
Daunting.
You're like, oh, now if I was critiquing this, you know, and you change what you're writing.
Totally. It's hard enough for any writer, but when you're a book critic, it's really bad. But eventually, it's like a painting. People say, you know, you don't really finish the painting, you just kind of let it go. And it's the same thing with your books. It's I could probably write 4 more versions of this book. But it had 10, which Ernest Hemingway said, I write my books 10 times.
Who has to write their books 10 times? Everybody doesn't have to do that.
Kind of, you do.
Sound like that was a yes, they do. So for you people getting over, okay, I'll write a second or a third draft 10 times. Who has that kind of time?
It's time. It's time. And I wanted to say that before about the startups. I mean, there are moments, you know, I would say to some of my friends, I feel like I'm on a hero's journey. And they'd kind of give me a little hairy eyeball. But it's the same thing in a startup. There are moments in the creative process where you are kind of crossing the desert, where you're like, you know, I believe what I'm doing. I laid down the tracks, but I'm not getting the attention, or I'm not getting the kudos that I want yet, or maybe a startup is having a hard time getting traction, as they say. And it's the same thing with becoming a writer. You know, there can be dry spells and times when it's not going well. But guess what? On the other side, the people who persevere those times often are the ones that succeed. It's you lose a lot of folks in that dry area.
What do book critics look for?
A really high-level book critic is someone who's looking for plot lines to tie up, for what we're talking about, you know, is there poetry? Is there metaphor? What's the quality of the writing? They're going to have a checklist for what makes a really readable, fun, enjoyable book. Some book critics will overlook one aspect, and if the other aspect is working, like the writing is amazing, but the plot lines don't all line up, it's rough. Book critics can go from fairly easygoing to very, very, very challenging.
Well, Joan, this has been terrific. I hope you come back and see us again.
Thank you so much, Moira. It's a pleasure.
My guest today is Joan Gelfand. Her new novel is entitled Extreme, and her 2018 book is You Can Be a Winning Writer, The 4 C's Approach to Successful Authors, Craft, Commitment, Community, and Confidence. For Tech Nation, I'm Moira Gunn.